Yeah, I picked out that song as a kind of a teenage song. Thank you, worship team, for stirring my heart. And why don't we stir? We sang about the God who reigns, and you know, he's over India, he's over China, he's over Hong Kong, he's over the whole world. And he can get that visa for the Bessels. He can get that visa for Sarah and unite our families here. Let's pray once again. Stir each other up. Father God, we thank you that you are real, and those words we sing are real, and that you reign, and you know how to move the hearts of visa immigration people to smile upon the Basalt family. And so we ask again for mercy upon them. Thank you again for your good care of Sarah Leung and bringing her home soon. Father, for your words, I pray now, fill me with your spirit. Take my heart, and may it not just be one who speaks and hears, but one who will do the very words which the scriptures point us to today. And I pray this not for myself, but for everyone here. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In case you've joined us for the first time this Sunday, we're continuing our series through the book of Acts, and we're at the end of chapter 15, and we'll kind of cross over into Acts 16 today. And I've entitled the sermon, Church on Steroids. Let's take a look at that. It's supposed to be steroids. What comes to your mind? anabolic steroids, right? But, you know, there's some good ones out there. I think they're called corticosteroids, right? Prednisone. What's the other one, the big one that you use? You know, got rheumatoid arthritis, different things. You know, it's cortisone. Those kind of things are pretty good for your joints and aching bones and stuff. But the ones I'm talking about are the anabolic steroids, and you know it's the medicines, the pills, the injections that guys and women use to beef up their body. Are we on the same page? We know what we're talking about? Steroids. How many of you guys are on steroids? Never mind. Okay. All right. But you can take an ordinary looking comedian. And if he gets on steroids, he'll look like something like this. I know my wife has no idea who Will Ferrell is, but that's who he is, love. Okay, it's a real comedian. You know him? Recognize him? Okay. All right. Church on steroids, what would that look like? Okay. Take a little bitty church, push some steroids into it, and it'll look like this. All right. I mean, I think they even got their own swimming pool down there. Their baptismal pool. It's huge. Wow, that's a church on steroids. Well, no, that's not where we're getting at. Okay. Steroids comes from the Greek word, the English word, in its etymology, its origins, come from this Greek word, stereos. Looks like stereo almost, doesn't it? But stereos. And that is a word we're going to look at in a couple of scriptures today. And you'll see it in chapter 15:41 and 16:5. As the apostles revisit churches, they end up doing what? Strengthening the churches. That's sterilizing, if you would. Not sterilizing, but steroidizing a church. Giving them strength. Making them strong, muscular in faith. And so that's where we're going today. May the Lord bless us as we look at his word. But basically, church steroids are not medications. They're people. People who God uses to strengthen the church. Okay, what kind of people are those? People who care. People who work well together. And then the third point, people who know what really counts. As a third point, people who know what really counts. First of all, let's look at people who care. Cares. Acts 15, just verse 36 is what we're going to look at. Just verse 36 to begin with. Do you have a bulletin insert, or if you've got your electronic Bibles? I can remember an old pastors, we used to say, oh, I love to hear those Bible pages flipping. You don't hear that anymore, right? Because everybody just clicks on their Bible and you can't hear that silent flipping on your screen. But if you got your Bible, electronic device, or the bulletin insert, we're just going to look at Acts 15, verse 36 to start off with. I think it's right here, yeah. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. People who care want to visit and spend time and see how you're getting along. In our early days of ministry here in Hong Kong, we had the privilege to work in the squatter huts of Eastern Kowloon in Sao Malping. And every Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday afternoons, we would do what we called Tom Fong. In Cantonese, that means visit people in their homes. And among grassroots churches, this is one of the requirements that they had of their pastors, is that they would like to Tom Fong visit people. That you would go into people's homes and minister to them in their homes. It's a good practice, and this past week, Bonnie and I were able to go in a few people's homes. I thank the Lord for that. It's good. It's a very good time to show people you care for them and visit with them, see how they're doing, pray with them intentionally. We had one friend named Serene Ko, a good Malaysian Chinese gal who worked with us, and she's still in this city in Hong Kong, but she was amazing how she would keep visiting people over and over again in these different churches and who she had contact with, and maybe some believing families which she had helped disciple their children or helped disciple a mother come to faith. But she's amazing. Even this past week I got a note from her. It said, James, Grandma Ng has died, and they're having her funeral next week, but I told him you don't need to attend, but I think Serena will probably be there. But just amazing on how she visits and see how they are. Well, just to give you a picture of what Barnabas and Paul are talking about, this was their first missionary journey, and it took them to Cyprus. That's where Barnabas' home is, from Cyprus. I don't know exactly what city. Scripture does tell us that he was from Cyprus. But they entered at Salamis and exited from Paphos, went up to Perga, and then ministered in Antioch and Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and then they made their way back. And after a period of time, they've gone up to Jerusalem and had the Jerusalem Council decisions and a letter sent back telling what really counts is faith alone in Christ. And go encourage the Gentiles. They don't have to be circumcised, but if you would, abstain from eating meat offered to idols and eating blood. Just pass that letter back to the Gentiles. And so now they're here, and they're in Antioch. They're not in Jerusalem. They're in Antioch, and they're talking about, let's go back and visit. And so people who are going to be strengthening the church are always going to be people who care. And here's an old photograph of Paul and Barnabas. Yeah. I kind of like that one. People who work well together are steroids for the church. And in Acts 15, 36, and we're just going to go to verse 2. So if you could follow along with me. Actually, it's verse 37 through verse 2. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. This is the same person who wrote the Gospel of Mark, by the way. Most Bible scholars believe that. I believe that. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer. But his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So people who work well together, basically we have two teams forming now, Barnabas and John Mark, and they go to Cyprus. Okay, and we got another team, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and they go to Syria, Cilicia, and Galatia, and that's where Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium, those churches are in that area. So we come to what's called the second missionary journey of Paul. And this shows you the directions. If you can see Antioch on the right of the screen, you see that Antioch in Syria and Antioch? We start there, and then it's going to go all the way around back to Jerusalem and then back up to Antioch. This is the second missionary journey. What we're not seeing is an arrow going directly to the left to that big island, that's Cyprus. And that would be the other team. We don't know what they do. It's not recorded. But Barnabas and John Mark go to their homeland, if you will, their Harangha, their home villages over in Cyprus to minister. So this is what's happening in today's scripture. Barnabas and John Mark, let's look at that team a little bit. Well, there was a sharp disagreement with Paul. Barnabas' suggestion, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said no. And why was that? Because he was the one who had withdrawn. I can't trust this guy. He's going to stick with us. You know? We have no idea from scripture record why there is this sharp disagreement other than that he left. Who knows what reasons he had to go back to Jerusalem? Missing mom and the prayer meeting there? I don't know. I mean, they had prayer in his mom's house. That's where they prayed and Peter was released from prison. It's a great heritage this guy has. I don't know. We also know that Barnabas and John Mark are cousins. I just saw some lost sheep come in. Some teenagers. Okay. Anyway, maybe they'll find their way to the fold. Cousins, John Mark and Barnabas. They're cousins. And hey, Chris, I think you guys are in here, the big guys in the extreme are holding their meeting. Okay. All right. We're one big happy family. I just got to get focused. I want these guys. Come on, you're welcome here. Hey, guys. Good morning. So cousins. Any of you guys cousins? Okay. You got a cousin? Okay, we all got cousins, right? All right. Now, when it comes to church stuff, oftentimes decisions making run in family bloodlines, you know. So what we've got here is it's my cousin. I want to encourage him. He's a good kid, and I've seen him grow up in the faith, and you've seen what's happened in his mom's house and prayer and all that, and you know, we've got to encourage this guy. Yeah, he went back, Paul, but we've got to encourage this man. He's a really a potential leader. And anyway, these are cousins who stuck together for the extension of God's kingdom. It's also helpful to know that later on, John Mark and Paul are close friends. And that's also found in Colossians 4, verse 11. And this will be about 10 years down the road. And Paul is going to say he's so grateful for John Mark. Okay. So that's a team. The other team, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Silas was commended by Jerusalem and the Antioch churches. You know, that you go and with the grace of God be with you. When they delivered the letter from the Jerusalem council announcing that decision, it was Silas was one of the living messengers. He came and he read the letter and then he gave the piece of paper to them. But he was there. I don't know if they had all these signatures on that letter, but Silas was one of the official delegates to bring that letter from the Jerusalem church to the Antioch church to tell them about the decisions about what Gentiles must do. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in his finished saving work. So now Timothy is commended by Lystra and Iconium, the believers there. They're really behind this guy, and he's really Paul. I want you to know that this brother is really walking close with the Lord. Paul would later refer to him as my true child in the faith. Those of you who are familiar with the New Testament, you know 1 and 2 Timothy are two books. You can see Paul nurturing this young man in the faith, encouraging him how to be a pastor. It's called the Pastoral Epistles in 1 and 2 Timothy. Very good stuff. There's one there for Titus too. An old photograph of, that's Grandma Lois helping young Timothy. And there's his mother Eunice, I think, looking back over his shoulder. This is this artist's rendition of that family. And I thought it was kind of neat. Mina, your mom is here. I said, well, why aren't you up there singing too, you know? So we get everybody together in this kind of way. But there's something missing in this picture. Can you see what's missing? A dad, yeah. There's a dad missing. He's Greek, we know that, but it would seem from all the writings that if I compare the what the scriptures have to say about who Timothy is and where he comes from, that his dad is deceased. How he died, I don't know. His dad's out of the picture. It was his mother and grandmother who taught him. How many of you guys are dads? Can you raise your hands? I think most of you are. Okay, most of you are, right? Don't just say, women, you teach the kids about God. The most honored task that you and I have as fathers is to point them to Christ, to share with them the scriptures and show them how Jesus Christ fulfills it all. You might say there's something else wrong with this picture. There's no computer. Right? I mean, our kids live with computers, and I thank you nobody's texting right now that I can see, you know. You know, you're tempted to text, you're tempted to iPad it, you know, whatever you're going to do. You're going to be all the time using what? You got the world's library in your hands. Well, you got to help them understand that there's a real truth, the living word of God, which gives light on how to live and how to have life to its fullest in Christ Jesus. I was reading an article on trying to help guys who have pornography addictions. And it was saying, how can we help our kids not have it, you know? I mean, they get exposed to this stuff very early age, and what do you do? And this one guy wrote a little helpful book for parents called Eye Snooping. Do you parents practice eye snooping? Here's just a very practical, down-to-earth thing to do. It's just snoop. Talk to your kids, your teenagers. I mean, you know, can I look at your phone every week? Can I look at your iPad every week? Can I look at your laptop every week and just see your history? And we'll delete your history together once a week. If you don't do that, well, just let me have your iPhone for the week. Oh, Dad, Charlie, he was playing with it and he deleted the history. Well, did you tell Charlie he can't delete it next week because I got your phone? Very practical advice in an evil world on how you as parents can be involved in helping your children stay in tune to the Word of God. It's tough. It's just the control, but it's the heart. It's the heart we want our kids to get a hold of. It's loving Christ is what life is about. It's not about denying this and that, but seeing in Him the fullness of life, like we sang about. Okay, we don't want to lose this generation, but they got the whole world's library right here in their hand. Let's get involved and see what they're looking at. It might not be pornography related, it could be other kind of stuff, you know? That's a really slanted view on life. How can we help and educate our kids? Well, evidently, Lois and Eunice did a great job because the believers see this in action in this young man, Timothy, and they say, Paul, this is a great guy. You know, he'd make a good team member. And so he became one. Wow. It's a real privilege as a pastor to have guys like some of you. I'm not going to call out names. That's what life's about. It's ministering with people who get along well together. And you will strengthen. You'll see God use you and your friends to strengthen the church. So steroids, people who care, and people who work well together. People who know what counts. Now that's found in verses chapter 16, verse 3 through 6. If you're following me, look on that chapter 16, verse 3 through 5. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him. Circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Was past tense. So we probably think he has deceased. Verse 4. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Which was, Gentiles don't have to be circumcised. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Well, what counts? Circumcision? No, that's what Paul argued against. He went up to Jerusalem. They gave an edict, if you will, of the first council of the churches, in church history, the Jerusalem Council. No, you don't have to be circumcised. But now you just circumcised Timothy. What's going on? All the Bible's full of contradictions, James. This is just one of them. No, no, no. Couple of verses we look at. In Galatians chapter 2, the whole book of Galatians, Paul argues that we do not have to keep the law. But it's just faith alone in Christ alone and God's grace alone is what saves us. Paul writes in chapter 2, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And taking Titus along with me, I went up because of a revelation set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, like Peter and James, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had run in vain, letting them know complete truth. You know, this is my practices, how I preach the word of God, the gospel of Christ, dying on the cross, raising from the dead, sending Holy Spirit and to come dwell within us. As I preach that message that it's through not by works but through faith alone that Christ died for our sins, his goodness and righteousness is mine through faith. As I preach that message alone, I did not circumcise these guys. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, then we get to this verse. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. In other words, they did not circumcise Titus. Why? They wanted the truth of the gospel be preserved for the Jewish leaders. Now, Titus is full Greek. He's not half Jew and half Greek. Okay, he's full Greek. He's full Gentile. But you know what? I want you guys, I'm not trying to win you to faith, because you Jerusalem people are what? You Jerusalem people are already what? They're already believers. But I'm just trying to show you this is what's going on in the Gentile world. And here's a man. I'd love to have heard Titus give his testimony, how he was changed by the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 9:20, there's another verse. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews, and to those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. In other words, those who are trying to keep the law, that's what they're under. This is what, I'm going to keep these rules, I'm going to be religious, I'm going to be moral, and that way God and I will be buddies. No, the way you and I become buddies with God, friends of God, this host of angels, what? How do we describe that? God of angel armies. That's called the Lord of hosts oftentimes in the Psalms. This is what it means. God of angel armies is my friend. Why? Because his son Jesus died for me. And I believe that. He's not my friend because I'm trying to be a good pastor. I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm trying to be a good father. No, no. He's my friend. Why? Because his son died for me, and I believe that. And so, I don't live under the law, Paul is saying here, though not being myself under the law. But those who are under the law, okay, I'll play the law game because I want to win some. I want to see some Jews come to faith, so I'll play the law game. And that's what's going on here. They will be going to different cities throughout Galatia. And if they know this guy is a half-breed, so to speak, he's half Jew and half Gentile, it's going to be best if he's circumcised. And then he can get in to the synagogues where they normally start, and then they share the gospel with those who are Jewish background. Because they will understand that, yes, there's a creator God who has called forth a people. And there's a people who have been in rebellion. And in that rebellious people, he had promised the Messiah would come. Now, who is that Messiah? These people don't know yet, but when you start saying Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he's risen from the dead, and he fulfills all those prophecies like Isaiah 53, and when those things kind of get to their hearts, they begin to see, yes, this is the gospel. And they're more open. And that's why they took the gospel to the Jewish synagogues first. How many of you have Muslim friends? That's great. Make more friends with them. You know, if God should ever lead us to live and work in Indonesia, I don't see that, but any of us I speak of collectively, if any of you should have to go there, you're going to have to give up a couple of things if you want to be close friends with Muslims. One is pork, and the other is alcohol. Maybe some of you don't like alcoholic beverages, so that's no biggie. Or maybe it's vice versa. You know, you like alcohol beverages. I can do with pork. You know, I can get by with chicken, okay? You know, just. But you do that, why? It's not what man eats or drinks that defiles him, but it's what's in the heart that defiles him. We know that. We know that that is real religion. It's my heart problem, not wanting to do what God says. But if I want to win some Muslims to faith in Christ Jesus, I will be sensitive to their background, and I will not have them into my home and serve them martinis and pork chops. Okay? We know that, right? So Paul's being culturally sensitive. My good friend Bill Larkin went to be with the Lord this past year is around my wife's birthday. Bonnie and I both enjoyed having him teach us New Testament in seminary. And Bill Larkin has written actually a commentary on Acts. And he makes a statement. The right people to advance the church's mission are spiritually fruitful, morally faithful, and culturally flexible. And so if those of us who have opportunity to become involved either in short-term trips to China with China Care International, our Medicare guy who was just here, Gary So, or with Steve and his gang, Salt, or whoever. You may have a chance to go to different minority groups. Perhaps we get to go to the Philippines and visit people. You're going to have to be a little flexible culturally. If you're going to do it as a calling of God, you have to be really culturally sensitive. So what really counts? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. And the only thing that counts is a new creation. Paul also says that in Galatians. This is what counts, not circumcision or uncircumcision. Paul knows this. So people who know what counts know it's not circumcision, but faith working in love. It's hard to imagine this bald-headed guy had shoulder-length hair. Had it as long as yours, Sandy, and Sandy Lou, the lady singing. I had hair that long. And my mother always got on my case and said, James, you know, that's so unnatural. You know, as Christians, men shouldn't have long hair. I said, well, Jesus had long hair. I mean, you've seen all his pictures, right? We don't know how long his hair was. But to make a long story short, I cut my hair. Not because I wanted my mom to quit nagging, but it's just like the Holy Spirit said, like, James, why don't you show your mom you love her? Cut your hair. So whatever we're doing, some of these things we abstain from or something we do differently, doing it out of love, faith, working in love. This is what counts. These men took the Jerusalem Council message with them. I've said it so many times, I don't want you to get sick of it, but basically there's circumcision. There's Gentiles, you don't have to be circumcised. Just don't eat the meat that's got blood in it and that's been sacrificed to idols, okay? That's all. This is very offensive to us Jewish people. You don't have to be circumcised. What really counts is faith in Christ alone. So the results were they were faith steroidized. That's a hard word to say. It's not really a word, is it? They were strengthened in their faith. They had strong faith. That was the result. And they increased in numbers. The church grows. When your faith and my faith becomes rock solid, that is going to attract other people. And they want to know, who is this Jesus you follow? Okay, application. Who do you care about? I mean, it could be in this community, DB. It could be people who live in Tong Chong. It could be people who don't live in Hong Kong. I know some of you care deeply for those you can't be with. So what are you going to do? You're going to visit them. All right. Just go visit them. It's lovely to see the care that goes on. I mean, it's not planned. You know, sometimes we put up these lists and we say, well, can we help this family for whatever reason, surgery or a newborn or something, let's bring meals, people sign up. That's kind of good. That's neat. But, you know, I also see it happening naturally, if you will, if you like the word organically, whatever. But people just caring for each other. And they go by and drop by and encourage one another. You do that, and I thank you. Keep it up. Who do you work well with? I hope you get along with your children. And you probably do. I know these little ones. I see your face light up. You know, when I see you and you tell me some of your stories and your anecdotes. You know, your funny little tales. It's really neat to see that great love. But have that fire in your heart for your children to know Christ better, to pray with them, to guide them in the Word, and they don't have to be, you know, I guess maybe a little bit older than Dorcas Learn. She's a month old now, but even then you can start laying your hands on and praying and talk to them. I think Bonnie used to pray for the babies when she was nursing them. It's a great time to pray for your kids. Who do you work well with? How about in DBICC? Well done, worship team. We've got worship teams, we've got children's ministry teams, we've got the dragon boat team, and we've got the men's groups, and we've got the women's groups, and we've got, etc., right? Some of you work good with teens. Did you see the guys go out here? Bob McLeod, Wendy, Chung, Grace Ree. Did I miss anybody else going in there? These guys work great together. Others are welcome, okay? If you want to join these teams, and whether you're a grandma, a mom, or a teenager, you know, there's a place for you to help in the ministries of DBICC. Our children's ministries are parent-run, period. Welcome ministries, hospitality ministries. Am I missing anything? Missions. Guys, who do you work well with? Hope you're asking yourself that, okay? Why don't we just put it in the first person? Okay, Lord, who do I really care about? Who do I need to visit this week? Who do I work well with? Well, I don't have much choice. Just got Ev and Elizabeth. What do I do?
You know? Like, do I have to? Yeah.
But no, I got elders. I got you. I got all kinds of people to work with. I get along great with Ev and Elizabeth too. I work well with you guys. I hope you work well with me. But where are we going? Do you know what counts? Do I really know what counts? And that is strong faith. Okay. The scriptures teach us what? We're all made in God's image, right? So whether we're from New Zealand or Australia, South Africa, or even that great land, USA, Hong Kong, all those big teams that are playing over the rugby sevens right now, all those represent different peoples. And I really find it interesting to see an African American on the Japanese team. But no matter who you are, what race you are. We've got Asian people, we've got Chinese people here, we've got people of Eurasian backgrounds, European, Australian, Canadians. We've got all kinds of guys right here, okay? But you know what? You are all created in whose image? God's image, all right? You are of worth. He created you and He wants to be your friend. But we can only relate to Him as friend through Christ. So when I look at a person, I know, okay, number one, I don't care how smelly or how beautiful they look, how much money they have or how much money they don't have. I see a person created in the image of God. Then I ask myself, is this person in Christ or outside of Christ? Because they can have all the wealth, all the beauty, everything, be so successful, but without Christ, their life is going to be destroyed. And eternal punishment and not an eternal pleasure of paradise with Christ. And they got so much to offer, and if they were God's good friend, then His glory could fall through them and use them to do what they're created to do, to find real satisfaction in life, and that's glorifying Him on this planet until He returns. So I look at person, okay? Boom. Creating God's image. Boom.
In Christ.
Great. You guys, in Christ. Great. Now what's next? Are you strong? Are you on steroids? Do you know that Jesus Christ's righteousness is yours now? That he's died for all your sins, past, present, and future. That his love is not dependent on you, but his love is dependent on his Son who came to earth and died for you. Are you strong in faith? And that doesn't mean that I can name it and claim it. I've got a job interview tomorrow. God, I know you'll give it to me because I'm strong in faith. My friend has cancer. I'm glad that yours is being healed, Tom. So don't take this the wrong way. So I'm strong in faith and I can pray and this friend will be healed. No. Should we pray for jobs? Yes. I'm praying for a man now. It's confidential and he's asked me to pray for him in his work. And I'm praying for that. People sick, I'm praying for them. Some very severe illnesses. But when you're strong in the faith, you know that when you do sin and your heart has done something wrong, what do? You run to Christ, you fall at his feet and say, "Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful that you died for my sin. And I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you don't get angry like I just got angry with XYZ people in the office. Where I've lusted, where I've had greed and just wanted money. You never did that, you know, and you were so pure and so obedient all your life, and I just thank you so much that you have given me all your good stuff, all your righteousness." So your self-image is in what? Not how smart I am, not how beautiful I am, or how intelligent I am. I am a child of God. I am a friend of God. I am a sister. I'm a brother in Christ. And we're strong in that faith. Let's bow for prayer. Before I start praying, I'd like us just to keep our heads down. It might help you to meditate. If you want to open your eyes, that's fine too. But just look in your heart right now. Is your faith in the finished work of Christ alone? Are you trying to perform to get God's love? Or do you know that he loves you so deeply and he wants your faith to get stronger? What is it that really counts in your life for your family? Do you want to become more like Christ? Do you want to be used of him to extend his kingdom? Is this really what counts? As he said in Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Holy Spirit, have your work in my heart, in the hearts of my friends. And may we leave this place today stronger in faith. A faith in Christ alone. Thank you again, Father, for this congregation, all you're doing in us and through us. And to Christ be the glory and the honor. Amen.